sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 140. She don't live here, part 2. Okay, this is usually the part where I would recite some poetry, but instead, I'm going to play the final words. The last words, the final minute of Martin Luther King Jr.'s final speech, given the day before his assassination, April 3rd, 1968. Happy belated MLK Day.
I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to, welcome you new listeners, especially those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake. And I got to give you a heads up that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who stand out and grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is what? January 17, 2024. And this episode is recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One last thing. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah. All right, okay, let's just get some things out the way. Hey, again, for you new listeners, just to help you get situated. I like to break down my shows into three parts, or three acts, if you will. First act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the last one is final thought. Now, in the first act, the introduction, I like to do shit like, I do things like play the theme song,
say the title of the episode. And, you know, usually, traditionally, I recite some poetry, but in this particular case, I decided to play a speech by, a portion of a speech by Martin Luther King Jr. I did say happy belated Martin Luther King Day, but that was on the 15th, right? Yeah. Sorry. The holiday I know in the States is, was Monday, but his actual birthday is on, really, B? You're going to look this up? You're going to have to look this up, man. That's right. Name is B Black, and he's looking up the Martin Luther King's birthday, actual birthday. January. I was right. January 15. See, that's what happens when you're a pothead. You tend to not trust your ability to remember shit. Anyways, where was I? Yeah. So this time I played some Martin Luther King just because his birthday was recently, and I feel I didn't give it. No, just because his birthday was recently, and a lot of videos, a lot of the contents I've been seeing online have been popping up in my timeline about Martin Luther King. So the way this is the theme. Oh, where was I? Yes, the introduction. Yeah, and then I start off with just a little introduction to explain to you the kind of podcast that you're listening to. Now, I just realized that part of the reason why I have that introduction is I realize that I have this habit of, or I'm very frequently in the American circles, on the American, Black American portion of the internet. And I have my podcast added there. And when I should be in the Canadian portion, specifically the bilingual portion, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so much for advertising. Well, I went in, it's whatever. It's whatever, man. If the French bothers you, then, you know, we don't have to be friends. I won't take it personal. And if it doesn't, then welcome. Welcome. That's all I mean. Welcome. Yeah. Yeah. See, the thing on this podcast is I just try to keep it authentic. Yeah. For some of you, if you have this ability of remaining authentic is something you do well, well, good for you. I'm still practicing. Where was I? Yeah, okay. Also, in the introduction, I like to do things like read off some quotes. And this first quote goes, first quote is, please don't disturb my peace if you are at war with yourself. I got a lot of family members I can send that to. Yeah. Yeah, shout out to people who are only able to get along with you through conflict. Second quote goes, you know what's real luxury? Your inner peace. I share this because of the last episode I talked about how I have a fragile inner peace. And I'm not sure if I explained that very well. And I guess what I'm trying to say is it's very easy for me to lose that inner peace. Like if I'm feeling inner peace, it's very easy for the slightest thing, the slightest breeze, or the slightest, I'm a sensitive person, right? The slightest thing to disturb it. And it doesn't help that I'm not the type who, I'm the type who's still practicing putting up boundaries. Yeah, I imagine it's a challenge for people. If you combine fragile inner peace, where your inner peace could easily be disturbed, and the inability to put up boundaries, that's a recipe for a mistake. But all this to say that if I don't talk to you, please don't. I mean, I was going to say, please don't take it personal. You're going to do what you're going to do, but I'm just saying my inner peace, I'm at the age where my inner peace is worth more than anything, than silver and gold. There we go. And, one more. Three quotes, because I couldn't decide on one. They all hit me well. And this one is from the Awakened. I got this from the Awakened Goddesses. It goes, don't make the mistake of being so understanding and forgiving that you overlook the fact that you're being disrespected. This one hits home so much. I know. You know what? This one's going to be a to be continued. But okay, getting back to the Martin Luther King quote that I played earlier. Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's the last thing I'd like to do, the introduction. But now, before I jump to using random thoughts, I just want to say, getting back to that quote, that clip I played by Martin Luther King, it reminded me of my youths. And when I say youths, I mean, did you say youths? Yeah, youths. I mean, early adult, 20 to 30 age range, where I value, I wish, I kept wishing to have that kind of conviction, to live that kind of life where, yeah, that kind of conviction. Like, I love when Martin Luther King says that, yo, I fear no man. I've seen the promised land. I've seen, basically, I've seen what my life has accomplished. What? Look, man, I may not make it to promised land, but at least I can say that I guided y'all towards the promised land, and I could tell you what's over there is worth the journey. It's worth the me facing the constant fear of death. And that's, man, that's a powerful statement. I'm bringing this up because not too long ago, I was on one end, I was like, man, fuck it. Let death show up, death. It's like, not too long ago, if the Grand Reaper were to show up at my door, I'm like, what the fuck? Where the fuck have you been? I would have been cussing him out. I was like, let's ready to go. But I mean, it's like I was ready to check out from this thing called life. At least that's what I told myself. Ready to die. I was ready to die, not like Biggie, but like ready to die. I mean, maybe like Biggie. Like, life just had no meaning. But in this particular case, he's saying he's ready to die, but not because it's like he's ready to die out of a sense of fulfillment. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, it's hearing him speak just had me reflect on how not too long ago, you know what I mean? It's kind of like leaving the party. I was willing to leave the party without a bang. And he's saying, I'm willing to party because every chick in here had my baby. You know what I mean? I'm just, wow. Yeah, I got to think this went through. It's a feeling that I'm having difficulty describing, but it was inspiring. Inspiring. Man in the grave inspired me. Anyways, all right. Okay, that's it, gang. Let's jump to use a random thoughts and buckle your seatbelt because we're doing this. All right, let's go. Yeah, man. Yo, I just got off the phone with, I just got off my phone with my mom, and damn, that lady could be buzz killer, man. A buzz killer. Look, if you met my mom, you'd see for her, she'd be the sweetest human being. She would sense like the sweetest human being on earth. But it's equivalent to like, yeah. Yeah, you know, sweetest human being, and the thing is, to everyone else, I'm gonna look like the villain because I see the other side of my mom, and she could be like just a busk. It's like, oh my God. It's like, how are you Christian? And he's, buzzkiller in the sense that it was just, you know, Captain Negative. It's like, you know, who's dying? Who's feeling this? Who's like, it's like just a ball of, I don't know. I guess it's the way we cope in this life. Some folks just, I'm trying to keep my head up above water. That's really what I'm trying to say. But when I talk to her, I'm like, fuck, I want to drown. God bless this woman. But yeah. What I'm saying is, I was on a high, then we talked, and now I'm, buzzkill. And yeah, and so much for introduction. Okay, all right, snap out of it. I'm snapping out of it. Okay, news and random thoughts. Okay, so you know what? I don't have a lot compared to how I usually do this. I don't have a lot of items. But initially I was worried, but I'm like, B, you talk a lot. You can talk a lot, man. You can take, I'm trying to make the comparison of Jesus with three fishes and bread. I forget how much he had and he fed the multitude. I'm saying I got three items, but I can like talk your ears off with those three items. Actually, it started with three items. Then I added two. Right before. These ones are like random thoughts. So we're going to go random thoughts and then. Is it all news? Yeah, okay. Random thoughts and news. All right, okay. First of all, I wrote interview and tacos. On the last episode, I talked about, this is just for people who may have listened to the last episode, and I left them on a cliffhanger. Well, not the whole episode, but there's a portion where I talked about how I had to prepare for a job interview. And in terms of, if you're curious on how it went, let's just say I left the interview not feeling well. But then again, I tend to be difficult on myself. Like it's the first time I had this interview style. It's basically the way it works is there's a question you read, and then you have to hit record and record yourself answering those questions. And yes, I did try to prepare, like I had some anecdote stories. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the questions out loud, but one of them was something along the lines of, oh man, fuck it, man, you don't know where I work. Anyway, it doesn't matter, right? But one of them was, have you ever missed a deadline or set up to miss a deadline? How did you handle it? And I remember answering the question saying, okay, I won't give you the exact answer, but the answer I gave later made me realize what I should have said or what I could have said or what the best answer I could have said was, first of all, it helps. If I were to give anyone an advice about being on a project and you're about to fuck up the deadline, it helps if you already have a reputation of being the kind of person who either A, doesn't miss a deadline, or B, if they do, they have a valid reason for it. Because if you're the type, because if you don't have that, then everything else is just bullshit. Then you're just going to be that person who fucked up the deadline, who missed the deadline, who didn't honor their promise, who didn't do well. Like, I've met that kind of person. Always has an excuse to why they can't keep their promise. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm not trying to brag about it, but I know what it's like to have someone who already has a reputation of never honoring their promise and never keeping their promise, and then show up with, yeah, man, I fucked up, okay, and blah, blah. And it gets to the point where you stop caring what their reasons are. You're just mad at yourself for believing they were going to do it. And I realized the way I answered the question, I was a little sounding like someone who was like, well, if I fucked up a deadline, I'll let the client know that, yo, man, come on, shit happens, man. What the fuck you want me to do? But, yeah, it helps. I think if I should have started out with, look, it helps having a reputation of someone who doesn't miss deadlines. At the very least, has a good reason or has, like, not an understandable reason. Well, here's the thing. If I'm in a situation where you can't miss a deadline, like, I'm trying to think of a scenario here. In war, whatever, right? I told you that, the 9/11 hijackers. I mean, you know, they can't be calling their Osama bin Laden and say, hey, we missed the plane, bro. Okay, that's a bad example. I'm just saying. That interview question, no, you know what? I may not have done well, but I left that interview, well, okay, a few minutes after I started to realize that I'm convinced I will do better next time. And it kind of sparked that part of me to like, yo, try again. That's the thing about, you know, when you're job searching, the first phase is getting someone to finally read your resume. And then finally, once they get your resume, once you hook them, and then it's doing well at the interview. Then it's rocking the interview. It's like phases. And that was my first interview in a long time. And plus it was on camera. But anyway, long story short, I didn't feel I did well, but I might be hard on myself. Last but not least, about tacos. Interviewing tacos. That's just the title of this segment. Tacos is again on the last episode. I talked about how I went grocery shopping, and I because I googled a recipe, a simple recipe for tacos. Right? Oh, sorry. Google thought I was talking to it. Anyway, yeah. I googled a simple recipe for making chicken tacos. And then I'm like, yo, I could do this. So I was all inspired, and I went to the grocery store and paid $12. Now that I think about it, it's fucking driving me nuts. $12 for boneless, skinless chicken. Four of them. Four pieces of boneless. Sure, it was like they were heavy, but $12. So 12 divided by four, that's $3. Oh, you know what? No, okay. It still works out to cheaper than paying for good tacos. $3? Yeah, you know what? It's still, but still. This morning I got paid and I was going for my bank account and I'm like, and I got one of those wake up calls. I think this usually happens around this time of the year in January where you spent so much money during the holidays. And then you're back to normal, and then like it's like it reminds me of my days when I used to party and wake up hungover, and I'm like, fuck, please God, and I could feel that ATM receipt in my pocket. I could feel the empty wallet and the ATM receipt in my pocket. I'm like, fuck, and it's a large number. Anyway, my point is, I'm now in phase of the consequences of your action. So my paycheck went in, and that motherfucker did not make a dent. You'd think I hadn't gotten paid. Anyway, so reality check kicked in, and ladies and gentlemen, B Black is broke. I should put up donations, but man, if you've been seeing some of my tweets, I've been tweeting shit like feeling like Rakim after he realized that there's nothing but sweat inside my hand. I dig deeper in my pocket. All this, something I found was lit. Anyways, yeah. And I don't like to dream about getting paid. Anyway, yeah. So I'm kind of looking for a hustle that doesn't involve selling drugs, robbing anyone, anything that doesn't involve me going to jail, or pyramid schemes. Yeah, no bullshit. I don't want to hear no bullshit like, yeah, if you invest a dollar today. I don't want to hear shit about cryptocurrency. You know, I don't know why I'm telling you these people this. All I'm doing is getting the advertising to start pointing bullshit that I won't like. And whatever, man. I'm looking. I think I might need a second. I might need another job, a part-time job, just to get me out of this hole of debt that I put myself in, man. Fuck, shit. Slavery's gonna come back. Man, Visa is going to reclaim their debts, and they say, oh, you can't pay us back? Slavery it is. Man, I hate this capitalistic system. Shout out to you billionaire bootlickers listening to me and going, well, fuck, it's not capitalism who made you spend all that money. Yeah, good point, but I know what you mean. But I don't have a rebuttal. I'm just saying, fuck y'all. All right. I do have one. I just can't articulate it. I don't have an intelligent rebuttal. All right, yeah. So all this to say that the reason I bring up the tacos is because, yeah, I made the tacos, and they were all right. They were all right, you know. But what counts is I made them. And it can only, just like the interview, and it's my first, because it was the first time making this type of tacos, it can only get better. That's what I'm saying. All right, so high five to me. You know what? Y'all ain't going to give me that high five, then I'm going to give myself one, all right? Okay, here we, where are you? There. Winning. For all you new folks listening to this podcast, I encourage this habit of, if you're like me who has this bad habit of always, has this habit of punishing yourself, criticizing yourself, dissing yourself more than praising yourself, then sometimes learn to praise yourself, even the smallest accomplishment. Hey, I peed and it didn't burn. You know what I mean? Winning. Winning. I got that from, I got this, I'm trying to develop this habit from reading, after reading Atomic Habits. And sometimes it just starts with doing small shit, but consistently. Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. All right, yeah. Oh, speaking of thinking of a master plan, I got a reality check. I got a reality check after looking at my bank account. But that same reality check was just what I needed to finally cancel my Disney Plus account. Why am I canceling my Disney Plus account? Because Disney Plus is pro-genocide. Of course, that's not on the brochure, but I read this article by the New Arab. Hold on, maybe, okay. Is this a site bias? Whatever, right. And, oh no, it's not, okay, hold on. Okay, it's based on this tweet. And, yeah, I just read this headline. Okay, I've already heard this already. I've heard that Indigo Chapters, welcome to Canada, Indigo Chapters, McDonald's, pro-Israel. And when I say pro-Israel, I don't mean like pro the right for Israel to exist. I'm talking about pro-Israel's current plan for genocide. It's like, we can't get along with our neighbors, so we're getting rid of them. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, yeah, we're getting rid of them, starting with the kids. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, I got to tell you, as a sensitive, highly sensitive person, watching all these fucking clips of, I'm trying to limit them, but watching these, like, there's a new headline I just read about starvation in the Gaza, like millions, hundred thousand, several people are starving to fucking death because of this war, right? I mean, at this point, yeah, man, fuck you with we're at war with Hamas. No, man. Unless by war with Hamas is, yeah, we're going to kill everyone who Hamas plans on recruiting. Problem solved. Like, I used to wonder when George Bush said the war on terrorism. I'm like, how does it work? Are we murdering everyone that has the T-shirt, I am a terrorist? Or are we just murdering brown people because, I mean, think about it, right? If black people had it like Israel, I'm not saying we don't, but if black people had it like Israel, we're like, okay, yo, well, we're going to get rid of racism, kill white people. I mean, that's the key, sorry. Not, because I'm talking about racism as, not as an institution, because racism as an institution would still exist even white people were to disappear. But I'm saying, imagine if black folks had that kind of like, oh, okay, Wibby was like, hey, you know what? Best way we could get rid of rape? Kill all men. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know, it's part of like, at this point, you become the monster. Yeah, how do you defeat the monster without becoming one? But yeah, at this point, they're like, you're becoming the monster. Oh my God, I'm off topic. Okay, what I'm saying is, after reading an article that confirmed that Disney has a hand in the genocide, the atrocities being committed on the Palestinian people, I'm like, fuck. I'm like, it was just like, I could have toughed it out. It was expensive. It was outside of my budget, but I just, I canceled it. It's not going to stop the war. Not at all. Them IDS soldiers are still going to get paid, are still going to rejoice from stealing, you know, land over there. But it's not going to stop it. But at the very least, it makes me feel that I'm not taking part of this shit. Take my name off this shit. You know, it's a challenge, man. I think, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm in the category of people where human suffering fucks with me, like ruins my day. I mean, like, literally ruins my day. I'm not like, oh, man, thoughts and prayers. I mean, like, I can't stop my mind from picturing myself in that situation. I can't stop myself picturing starving to death. Even though I've never starved to death, I don't know what the closest I've ever come to starving, to famine was that last time, this one time, my doctor asked me to fast for 12 hours, and damn, it was a struggle. I mean, the first 2 hours I was okay, but hour three, I'm like, whoa, oh my God, nearly became a jihadist. Anyway, my point is, I can't stop myself picturing myself in the shoes of the victims. It's shit like that makes me wonder, you know, it's... Turns out I'm, you know, I was going to say I suffer from a thing. No, I have this trait called highly sensitive. There's a more complicated word, but I'm going more technical term for it. But yeah, apparently I feel shit more intensely than the average human being. And it fucks with me, man. It just fucks with me. So I'm seeing all this suffering going on, and I'm getting angry, and I can't do shit about it. And then all I needed was, Disney's is associated with that shit. I fucked them. I mean, I canceled it, but I don't think the CEO is up there being, oh, someone called B Black. Oh man, how am I gonna pay for my house without the $14 Canadian from monthly $14 Canadian from B Black? I mean, it's a drop in the bucket. You know, it is tough living in this world. It's wild, right? On one end, I should be grateful that I'm on the lucky side. I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm part of the privileged. But on the other end, the fucking human suffering fucks with me. Sometimes, not always. Sometimes I wish I could numb it. I could numb the pain. Oh, then again. I do smoke weed, so maybe that's what that's all about. Yeah, crumbly nerves. I'm just so much in trouble in this crazy world. I'm just crumbling nerve. By the way, it kind of helps if you listen to the, I said French. It kind of helps if you listen to this podcast and are literate in hip hop, because I tend to make a lot of hip hop references. So yeah, and I don't apologize for it. Oh right, okay. Oh my God, I forgot that I'm in the middle of the agenda. Okay, all right, yeah. So, thinking of a master plan. Yeah, when I write my memoirs, I'm going to make it all heroic about how I canceled my Disney Plus. I said, yeah, because I stand up on the right of justice. But the truth is, to those listening to the podcast, but you'll know about, yeah, but he was also broke. He was also losing money. Yeah. So, thoughts and prayers for me, man. I'm the one suffering out here. You can't tell, I'm laughing to keep from crying. If it wasn't for this fucking sense of humor, this whole podcast would just be me like, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. Okay. Sorry, I just peeked. Sorry for doing that to your ears, folks. Yeah, this whole podcast would just be me crying. Yeah. I burst my eardrums. I'm trying to sing that song by Life Jennings. Can't do anything wrong with that, wrong with crying. Anyone tell you different, they're lying. Oh, man. Yeah. This is not the podcast to listen to if you want someone to recite, to sing well or recite R&B songs properly. Okay, let's get to news. Okay, so this is a bit of old news. On the last episode, I talked about Joy Coy. Yeah, Joy Coy. Bombing at the Golden Globes, and it was more, I brought that story up more to say how bombing sucks. Oh, it was two things, two parts. One, to say how bombing sucks, and how as a comic I could connect to that. Bombing sucks, period. Sorry, I don't want to say that I've hosted the Golden Globes. I'm not saying I'm at Joy Coy's level of comedy, but I'm saying bombing does suck. And I hate reading articles of people. Well, see, that's what's interesting. To civilians, to non-comics, it's a funny thing. Ha ha, it's something you can mock someone for doing. But as a fellow comic, you're like, yeah, it happens, man. And I praise the man for, like, bouncing back. Now, the other part is I did bring up how, yeah, man, dude did pull the, man, motherfuckers are too sensitive shit, you know, and, like, make excuse for. Well, let's not make excuse for what happened at the Golden Globes, but I don't know. I don't trust comics anymore who blame the audience for not laughing at their jokes. fuck, it happens, man. Deal with it. Oh my God. Okay, so where I'm going with this is I do remember shortly after Michael Che had a tweet, shared a tweet that is now deleted about how he was encouraging comics to like boycott these award shows. And it was actually an insightful quote combined with, and it ended with a funny joke about like, you know, man, don't boycott, man. Fuck it. These motherfuckers don't have no love for us comics. Hollywood don't love comics, man. They don't respect us. How you going to do host comedy? No one's trying to hear comedy in front of people. No one's trying to receive comedy who are taking themselves too seriously or waiting to win an award and blah, 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 blah. And then he said, but yeah, fuck it. Unless they ask me to host. Anyway, yeah. So he deleted that tweet. I'm not sure what that's about. But I really like how, I think what I like about it is how the more the idea of how people don't value comedy. Sure, it makes you laugh. Sure, it might distract you. But I'm thinking about this one time, a friend, this person I knew who found out that I was doing comedy and calls me out of the blue and says, hey, man, I'm not sure if he was celebrating a birthday or doing a wedding, but he asked, hey, you mind kind of swinging by and doing a little few jokes, cracking a few little jokes for us and shit like that, and blah, 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 blah. And I think it was like, he probably called me on a Wednesday, and the event was on a Saturday, and I don't know, I took offense to it. I took offense to his, some people see he's trying to support an artist. Okay, look, this is what I felt. Right or wrong, I took offense to it because I'm like, come on, man. What the fuck? I need prep time. And second, apparently this event was going to be in his fucking basement. I'm not sure if there's a microphone, but there was no talk of pain or anything like that there. But I think it was sounding a lot like, yeah, man, you want some exposures? Yeah, me and my wife and her relatives, yeah, you'll get some exposure. Me and her Christian relative would love to hear your joke. Whatever. I just didn't feel like he was taking me seriously. But on the other end, he wasn't taking me seriously, nor did he value comedy as a craft. Second, the other end is, I was also new to comedy. I mean, I still consider myself new, but I wasn't like, this is how I knew I wasn't pro-level comedy, because all I could picture was being in that room and hearing cricket, cricket, cricket. Because the jokes I have are not really like, what is up with these planes? You know, whatever. It's more, honestly, if I could, I'd rather be doing spoken word poetry. If I could. Because a lot of my jokes are funny, but it's not just funny, but it's meant to the real skill is making you think about shit, making you. In a way, I am kind of preaching. Not like, you know, eat your vegetables, that woke shit, but it's more like, I'm trying to think of an example. My sexual education sucked. growing up as a token black guy. Sure, it may not be comparable to coming out of Compton, but you know, it has its challenges. But my point is, my jokes are not the kind of jokes that I would say at a Globe. Yeah, I think the kind of comedian he would have needed was someone who could riff off the crowd, who has material, and could also like, hey, anybody selling birthday? Of course, that's why I'm here for it, you know? And where are you from, fat motherfucker? You know what I mean? Like, riff off the audience. I wasn't that style of comedy. But it made me realize my limitation. It made me think about my limitation in comedy, which probably played a factor as it bothered me. But anyways, holy cow, where I'm going with this. Yeah, I'm saying Michael Che's response to Joy Coy just made me think of a moment where I felt the person asking me to do comedy didn't actually value comedy as a craft, you know? I'm trying to think of being a stripper and events that turned. I guess if you're a stripper, the only events you'll turn down are the dangerous ones. And you don't really expect your audience to be, like, respectful of the fact that you're a human being. You know what I mean? It's not like... I don't know. How much... If you're a comedian, how much... Yo, you know what? Okay, I'm saying, yeah, if you're a comedian, one thing you expect is for the crowd to be... to shut the fuck up while you do comedy. Like, that's a sign of respect for the craft, right? But yeah. Yeah, I think the overall theme to this message, to this take, is just the idea of doing comedy for an audience that doesn't really value you. Like, you're better off just being a stripper on a pole. No disrespect to strippers on a pole, but I'm saying, I think, yeah, I think, yeah, no disrespect. It's meant more meant to, there's certain craft, there's certain performance that you're like, eh, I'm just doing it for the money. I'm not expecting these people to be like, you know, to win a Nobel Peace Prize off this shit or whatever. Anyways, yeah. Okay. You know, sometimes I talk and I'm almost feeling like, I don't think I'm making sense. I have this bad habit of thinking that I know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, okay, what else do I have in... Oh, right, okay. Yo, have y'all seen, have y'all heard, because this is, like, frequent on the timelines, it's, what's her name, Nikki Haley, politician in the United States, who's, yeah, I'm going to play, yeah, Nikki Haley, and, you know, I'm just going to play it. This is actually a clip from of Michael Harriet speaking to Ronald Martin, but I'm just gonna and they're referencing this clip, so I'm just gonna play the actual clip of Nikki Haley saying some dumb shit, and you could go to the show notes to watch the rest of the clip and hear what these two intelligent black men had to say about this ignorant South Asian woman. She South Asian? No, I'm American, but yeah, come on, not to white people. All right, okay, here we go.
Are you involved in a racist party?
No, we're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country. Our goal is to make sure that today is better than yesterday. Are we perfect? No, but our goal is to always make sure we try and be more perfect if every stop day. It.
To- okay, they stopped. I'm gonna stop. Okay, Michael Harriet later in the clip points out how the man asked him, is your party racist? And this lady goes off on, no, we've never been a racist country. Hey, lady, I'm talking about your party. And she went off script. Well, whatever. She says this dumb shit. We've never been a racist country. Part of me wants to give her the benefit of the doubt. Oh, hold on a second. A very small, minute part of me wants to give her the benefit of the doubt. She misspoke. But the other part of me wants to think about the inspiration, part of the inspiration to writing the theme song for this podcast. Hold on a second. Damn, it's been so long that I can't remember the lyrics to my, let me see if I can find the lyrics to, it's been so long that I forgot the lyrics to my own theme song. If I hear the beat, I will hear it. Hold on a second. Theme song. There we shut up podcast. Yes. Okay. All right. Look at me, man. Put myself. Yeah. The message I'm trying to say is when I heard Nikki Haley say that shit about the United States never being a racist country, it made me angry. And something I've learned into therapy is to channel that anger. Because if I let my anger take over, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to snap. I will be shooting from the top of a clock tower. Even though in Canada we have very strict gun laws and it's very difficult for me to obtain a gun, so it's unlikely for me to happen. But I'm saying this like Tupac kept saying, you know, mama said don't let them drive you crazy. Mama said don't let them whatever. If I let my rage overcome me, I will snap. So in therapy I learned to like channel it to positive shit. And so as I was feeling that rage from what Nikki Haley said about America never being a racist country, it reminded me of the inspiration for these lyrics here, where I say, if you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you're holding, if you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Wait, that's not it. Wait, if you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Yes. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friend, shut up. if you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Okay, ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. So what Nikki Haley, that statement is not about growth. It's a bullshit statement. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a fart ton, shut the fuck up. Okay, that's the verse I wrote for. That's the Nikki Haley's of the world. Victim blaming, shut up. Truth hating, shut up. If you're urging, if your words are to no benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Woke choir. When grown folks are talking, youngins, shut the fuck up. All you traders, shut up. Manipulators, shut up. Yeah, that's not it. Real friends know the time to keep that mouth shut. Fake preachers, shut up. Wicked teachers, shut up. If you ain't got the answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupt. Okay, you know what? I remixed these lyrics, and I forgot to interrupt. Oh, my God. This is the old version. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. This is not part of the show. Did I really not update? Okay, this is interesting. I really did not update. Oh, wow. Very funny. Anyway, that's not the point. My point is, the version of the song that's written down is not the same version as what you hear at the beginning of this podcast, or what you heard at the beginning of this podcast. And I remember, because when I was in the studio, I made some changes to the lyrics by hand and forgot to digitize it. I'm so old. Anyways, all right, B. All right, B. My point is, when I wrote that theme song, the intention was, well, it was also meant to say, you know, the world shut up, please let me talk. Shut the fuck up. Shout out to my homegirl, King Kimbit, and who inspired, like, the thoughts. It was like, you know, but the main idea was, shut up, let me speak. And then combined with my frustration with people who speak just for trolling, people who speak, people who argue with you just, who argue with you, who have conversations with you in bad faith. Basically, when they open their mouths, no values. Nothing good comes out of it in terms of value, in terms of anything. But my favorite, if you ain't speaking to our benefit, when I see our benefit, meaning if you're only speaking to benefit your own self, then yeah, shut up. If you're speaking just to, you know, I'm guess I'm talking about, what's that word? Not synergize, but when you collaborate with another human being and speak to a point. See, it's, I understand arguing. I can understand difference of opinion. But I'm all about, like, when those difference of opinion, when that argument leads to something constructive, to something of value, to, less filling, tastes great. Fuck it, we both like beer. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but when a disagreement leads to a higher level, a different level of consciousness, a different, coming up with an idea that you wouldn't have been able to come up by yourselves. If we're not having that kind of argument, shut up. I ain't trying to have it. But yeah. So this is me plugging the theme song for this podcast and the fact that I wrote it. And if you are a beat maker and you can suggest a different beat, like I really love this beat for this track, but I am open to remixes. If you think you can do better, I'm open to it, man. Shout out to my homegirl Shazy. I'm always scared. Every time I pronounce her name, I'm always worried that I'm mispronouncing it. Shazy, for being the beat maker, the super producer for making it. And yeah, if you want her details, I can send it to you. But okay, yeah. If sorry, I'm laughing because here I am asking if you have a if you're a beat maker willing to offer a free beat for exposure. I just complained about exposure. Nah, I mean, look, man. You know what it is? I'm having these like prophetic prophecy moment. Like I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. When I said the thing about beat, like, I had this image of this beat maker saying, "Y'all, this is the beat for your intro, right? God gave it to me." And I'm going to hear it and I'm going to agree with it and I'll be like, "What the fuck? I got to do a remix for this beat." And yeah, I guess if I like it, then I'll pay for it. You know, but not now because B Black is broke. So broke he can't pay for a Disney Plus account. So broke that he can't pay for a genocide. Oh, bad joke, bad joke, bad joke. All right, gang. Okay, so this is the last item I have on the agenda for user random thoughts. Sorry, and I am not going to play this clip because it's a 10-minute clip. But I am going to say, as the son of a preacher, as a preacher's kid, an ex-preacher's kid. Ex-preacher's kid, ex-Christian, I was fully, what's that noise? Hold on a second. Oh, shit, I just heard a rumble. Oh, my God. We're under attack. Felt like a huge tractor was coming my way. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, as a preacher's kid who takes pleasure in seeing, like, ratchetness in the church, I am in the show notes. There's a clip. What did I title it? The Ultimate Church Ratchetness. It's a 10-minute clip, and it's about, I guess I should introduce a segment called Church Ratchetness, hashtag Church Ratchetness. And also say that if by any chance you happen to be a fan of or a listener, part of the Black Guy Who Tips community, and you find yourself saying, "Hey, wait a minute. Did you just rob Rod and Karen's concept of sword ratchetness?" And I'm going to say, nope, not at all. All right? First of all, they have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. Okay? And they're McDonald's, I'm McDowell's. So let's not start any shit. All right? Let's not start any trouble that doesn't need to be started. And second, church ratchetness is a segment that I dedicated to just talk shit about the church. Why? Because I'm bitter. I grew up in the church. Shout out. Look, don't get me wrong. Shout out to those of you who have had positive church experience and are still strong Christian. Good for you. I applaud you. I respect you. I even envy you. But me, nah. I've seen the dark side of Christianity to so much to the point that I'm like, yeah, I just holding on to that anger and just talking shit about the church and not making apologies for it. Now, apologize. Part of the anger comes from spending my years being silent about the fact that a lot of this shit doesn't make sense. But I was just trying to. It was kind of like, it's kind of like holding on to the, oh, man. Oh, this is explicit. You better be over 18. You better not, like, for, you know, hope your kids aren't listening to this. But, you know, it's like having to play the Santa Claus tradition. Because you don't want to ruin it for these kids. So I spent a majority of my life as a Christian kid playing along just so some fragile Christian's feelings won't get hurt. I was like, "What do you mean you don't want to go? You don't believe in Jesus anymore?" I was like, I just don't. Oh my God. So yeah. So this clip, this 10-minute clip is from what I can understand based on the caption is, and it's fucking entertainment. It has it all. Here, I'll read the caption. It goes, "Last Sunday, Yolanda Beavers, the alleged mistress of Pastor Ricky Scott Sr. of East St. Peter's Baptist Church, of course it's Baptist, Church in Oxford, Mississippi." That kind of surprised me. "Disrupted the morning worship and revealed that she was pregnant by the pastor." Ain't that a bitch? "We do not condone violence. Pastor Ricky Scott Sr. refuses to be voted after." Oh, man, it was entertaining. "Pastor Ricky Scott Sr. refuses to be voted out after his pregnant side chick tried to fight his wife during service. Says he's not leaving." Oh, man, yeah, and that's the beauty part is motherfuckers gets called out by his side chick. And he's like, "Nah, I'm not leaving this church." Have you no shame? Hey, man, if Jesus could die on the cross, I could live with the shame. I don't know. I'm just saying, man. It was. It does break your heart, like, you know, the worshipers who are in there and, like, their world crumbling. I don't take pleasure in that, seeing their world crumbling. But there is a but. The truth sucks. Reality sticks in. That's why some of us get high, because reality sucks. But anyway, yeah, what was I saying? This clip was, I was fully entertained. It was very funny, especially when the cops show up. In a motherfucking church, the cops show up. And homie is like, yo, they can't kick me out. I'm the pastor. There's a scene where he goes, okay, all right. You want to talk? Okay, you want to talk? And it kind of looks like he's about to run from the cops. That shit would have been entertaining. Oh, man, would have been bonus points if they tasered him. Ah, and then I rebuke you, devil. Ah, and whatever. Anyway, it's in the show notes. Shout out to Grindface TV Entertainment, whoever you are. All right, and this concludes. See, what did I tell you, man? I only have, what, 4 items? And look, and I could talk. All right. You know what's funny is when I create these agendas, I put a lot because I'm always worried that I'm going to run out of things to say. I know thyself, be black. All right, okay. All right, gang. That's it for news and random thoughts. So we now jump to the final thoughts. Okay, let's go. Whew, did I mention it's warm here? Okay, so I live in Ottawa, for those of you who don't know, and it's freaking cold out there. I think it got to minus 17. And that's nothing. It's going to get worse. Minus 17, but that's, it feels like minus 17. And so I spent most of my day indoors, and my heater's on high. But now it's too high. Yeah, needless to say, I hate the cold. I really hate the cold. All right, okay. Final thoughts. Okay, let's start with this. What's up with the title of today's episode? Well, as you can tell by the part two in the title, this is a continuation of something of the final thoughts in the from the last episode, where I talked about my inability to understand love. And after I published that episode, I found myself thinking even further and realizing that I could have narrowed things down. I found myself thinking about the fact that have some theories about why the concept of love doesn't make sense. So on the last episode, I did mention that, just like Christianity, I feel like I've only seen the dark side of love. It had me thinking about two things. One, hi, I would love to have a conversation with Talon Macy about his poem, Insane. And in the course, he goes, if I ever wrote a love poem, it would be insane. Love is a mystery, and sex only numbs the pain. The second point I wanted to make is, while thinking about the conversation I'd like to have with him, it had me thinking about how my dreams of or wishing that I was a spoken word artist. Because I don't know how to make jokes about not understanding love. Actually, I do, but that's another conversation. And I was thinking about maybe I should try putting it in a rap song, in my own poem. Because back in high school, for those of you who don't know or care, I used to rap. Fun fact, I used to be named my name was B-Black, and I was part of a group called Total Darkness. Yeah, we were blackity black. Yeah, man, we were pro-black to the fucking... I had a line that went, I'm black, how black, black, blacker than black. So black that Whitey gets a heart attack. The funny part about that verse is I was serious. A friend of mine was telling me, hey, someone laughed at that verse. I was like, the fuck you thought was funny? My favorite episodes are the ones where I'm laughing at myself. I'm laughing by myself. Where was I? Yeah, oh my God, yeah. So I was thinking of putting this shit in a rap song, and I found myself writing. I said, if I ever wrote a love poem, it would be about how I don't understand love, and one verse, and I dedicate a whole verse about how, and this next thing I'm about to say might bother a few people. One verse would be dedicated to how I don't think my child brain when I was beaten as a child, like most black child are, most black children are, you know, maybe some of you people were handled being beat by your parents okay, like walked it off. But I don't think, like, I'm having this realization that I don't think my brain was able to process the fact that the person who, in my mind, loves me the most, which are my parents. Needless to say, I would tell this to my parents because they wouldn't understand it. This is not meant to send them on a guilt trip. Shout out to black parents out there. We're all learning. Shout out to all my friends, my generation of parents who have like, yeah, my parents probably beat me, but I'm not doing it with my child. I'm going to use patience. I'm still going to discipline them. I'm not going to go easy on them, but I am not going to use pain to coerce them into being, to teach them discipline. So this is not meant to be a criticism against my parents. I'm just speaking against the concept of using corporal punishment on a child. And I'm saying, I'm realizing that I don't think, as my brain processes, these are the people. I didn't see it that way, but now that I think back about it, but I think my brain was like trying to make sense that the people who are supposed to be my guardian are inflicting me one of my greatest pain. As a child, I never liked being beaten. I'm not sure how many beatings I got, probably how many beatings, but I know I reached a point where my entire spirit, my entire being was committed to doing whatever it needs, whatever I need to do to not get beaten again. So I was considered a good child. People thought I was, oh man, he's such a great child. He's such a, you know, because I remember learning at a young age of, okay, where the line is. Some kids are like, fuck it, man, tough guy, thug love, thug life, I can handle it. No, I was like, yeah, I don't want that shit again. What do I need to do to not get hit again? Friend of mine, I was at her place, and she was like, I was at her place, and I didn't notice, but I'm like very careful. I was being very careful to not fuck with her shit, to not put anything out of place. But I think I was being a little too extremist about it. Hold on a second, the volume on this microphone is. Why is this volume low? Sorry, my headphones were tripping. Speaking of being broke, Be Black needs a Shut Up Podcast, needs a new mixing board. All right, okay, what was I saying? I was at a friend's house, and she caught me being very careful, like, yo, can I sit there? Can I, do you mind if I do this? Can I use your washroom? And, like, in my mind, I'm being polite. But I started to realize, but she made me realize that I was being a little like, dude, if I didn't want you at my place, I didn't want you to feel, basically, look, su casa es mi casa, you know, feel at home. I couldn't allow myself to feel at home. But I was very extreme about it. Now, on one end, I was convincing myself that I was just being respectful. But on the other end, there was a part of me that's like, that part of my brain that's like, where's the line? What do I need to do to not disappoint, cause this person to go into anger? It's like my brain has calculated, has associated self-preservation with not making another person angry. So like I said, yeah. So the first verse would be probably what fucked up my understanding of the concept of love is how it's getting beat as a child by my parents. Not just by my parents, but also relatives. Because I know, you know, there's still love for the parents, but there's a part of, like, my entire, a significant portion of my childhood was, don't make these people angry. That's what love, that's what our relationship is based on. Do whatever you need to do to not incur their anger. To not do anything that will make them want to beat you. So I'm saying, it's like I associated love with. On the last episode, I talked about how a conversation I was having with my dad. I said, why do we hurt those we love? I asked this to my Christian cousin, and she was like, you know, because we ate the apple. You know, we ain't shit. God, fuck it. We don't deserve grace, but God's been beating us. We keep disappointing. To her theory was because we ain't shit. It's normal for people who love each other to hurt each other. And I'm like, I know we're not perfect. But, I mean, there's got to be a certain expectation of, you're not going to do that to me because this is love, right? I mean, like, I'm thinking of the couple who survived, infidelity, who've managed to get past infidelity, one partner being unfaithful. Like, that's a serious pain to inflict on another human being. And, yeah, maybe for some people, I'm sorry, works for them, but it's like, what pain are you unwilling to accept from someone who claims they love you? I think mine would be physical harm. Physical harm. Definitely physical, yeah. You punch me. Sure, you had a bad day. I don't know. Yeah, domestic abuse. I don't think I could. Maybe that's what. Okay. All I'm saying is that would be the first verse would be about how the link, my brain's inability to understand love from people who are inflicting you pain, physical pain. The second verse of that poem would be dedicated to how, as a man, I'm convinced, growing up as a boy, going from boys to men, I'm convinced that I got advice about love from all the people I shouldn't have gotten advices from. Actually, I have this joke about how one guy I used to get advice about sex from. I started questioning that he might be full of shit when I started to realize that during the Me Too era, a lot of the Me Too stories, like, this happened to me, motherfucker touched me this way, talked to me that way. A lot of those stories, I was like, holy shit, Tyrone, what the fuck? I'm like, yo, did she know? I remember growing up with men who would say shit like, I swear, it's like, you know, their concept of game, I thought they were pickup artists. It's only later I realized they were like con artists. Their concept of romance romance, game, being persuasive was just coercion. Like, I was getting advice from men who would say shit like, I could get any woman I want. And to me, that didn't make sense because I'm like, so women don't have free will? Like, I can get any woman you want like an item in a store? Sorry, sir, we're out of $12 chicken. Well, fuck it. Go in the back and go get me some of that chicken. You know what I mean? I'm saying, men who would say shit like, I could get any woman I want. If you're on a date, if you go out on a date with someone and you don't, you know, hit them skins, I'm just showing my age. If you don't have sex with this woman on the first night, you fuck. I've had dates come back and then like, yo, did you fuck her? I'm like, nah, it didn't happen. And they're like troubleshooting everything I did wrong. Well, did you give her liquor? Are you sure you applied yourself? Are you sure you tried? Okay. And then not just friends, not just, I call it the streets. When I say friends, sex advice about love from the streets. It's not just that. I'm talking about R&B music. Fucking rom-com. Like I say R&B, love music. Like. It's not a conversation, you know, I can't remember having a mature conversation about love or sex with an adult. It was porn. Porn. And don't bring up sex ed in a whack-ass sex ed class. That's where I got all my instructions about love and the opposite sex. All right, I bring you this setup, all this to say that so when I finally have my first girlfriend, okay, I'm going to use the term first girlfriend, even though she wasn't the first girlfriend, but when I had the first quote-unquote serious relationship, the closest I've ever come to a serious relationship, and it didn't work out. The love ended. I remember feeling so cheated and being convinced that I don't get it. I did everything I was supposed to do, and this shit happens. I had no understanding. Okay, here's the thing. I was dating, first girlfriend, she just happened to be a woman who I was just not compatible with. I didn't understand the concept of compatibility. I was told about it. I knew it on the surface, at a shallow level. Yeah. I got to be compatible with it. What's that? You like rap music? I like rap music too. All right, okay. What's that? You're black? I'm black? Okay, let's hit it off. There, we're an item. I didn't understand what compatibility. Yo, I recently looked up sexual compatibility. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I hook up with a woman I am not at all compatible with. This woman, what's interesting is we would have been better friends. It's funny. We would have been better as friends, but as a couple, like she's on my list of when people talk about their worst ex. Not that I can't get over my exes, but I'm saying when you think about your worst possible relationship, she's on my list. Whenever someone's talking about, yeah, my crazy ex, I think about her. But the thing is, we had no business hooking up. We hooked up at a shared convenience. I was trying to get laid. She was trying to get something else. And plus, we were young, dumb, full of cum. Well, I was young, dumb, full of cum. You know what I mean. Anyway, yeah, so we linked up. Of course, as predictable, relationship doesn't work. But I remember leaving going, what the fuck? What did I do wrong? Yo, it was so bad, I ended up going into therapy. And that's where I learned shit like, shit like knowing thyself, knowing yourself. Funny joke before I leave off is, it's not a joke, but I remember picking up the book Dating for Dummies, and my intention was just to get tips on, you know, how to pick up chicks. That's what it was all about. Like, I wanted to learn techniques, like if she's playing with her hair, is that sign that she's into you? Shit like that, right? And I remember being confused at the fact that the first chapter was focused on getting to know yourself. I remember looking at that chapter. I was like, what the fuck? Did I just get ripped off? Why the what's the with this waste of time? Where are the tactics? How much MDMA do I need to put in a drink to get into a relationship? You know what I mean? That's what I thought relationship was. That's what I thought seduction was. I was probably no better than I'll probably no better. My tactic was probably no better than caveman who like clobbers a woman across the head and then, yeah, we're in a relationship now, and drags her unconscious body to his cave. Yeah, we're in a relationship with, like, those were my blueprint. That's what I'm not saying, because you know, you can't hit a woman in the head, but the point is, I didn't realize at the time, but everything I thought I understood about what I thought was romance. What's that word that I just used? What I thought was sweeping a girl off her feet was actually, yeah, what I thought was seduction was actually deception. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, all this to say that when the Me Too movement came out, I'm like, oh, now I get it. We were full of shit. Anyway, yeah, so second verse would be dedicated about how all the shitty advice I got about love, and then having the audacity to be disappointed that I end up in a relationship that was loveless. There might be a third verse, but right now those would be the first two verses. Yeah. So I realized that I completely forgot to mention that the title of today's episode, the title of both episodes, 139 and 140, She Don't Live Here, comes from, well, if you listen to the previous episode, you know what I'm talking about, right? I forgot. I'm speaking to you like you heard the last episode. Yeah, the title comes from the lyric by Scarface in this track with Nas, with I guess DJ Khaled made the beat, but hip hop. And there's a line where he goes, "Fuck love, she don't live here. I'm soaked in blood, but I'm still here." That would be the chorus of that, of my piece. It's like, "Fuck love, she don't live here. I'm soaked in blood, but she don't live here." And that's my, just my way of saying, I don't understand love. And this episode, I just talked about what led me to not understanding love. Now, needless to say, I had a conversation with my therapist about this shit. And she got me to realize that, yeah, dude, everything you're speaking is like the dark, not the, it's like the bad side of love. And to make it, to make this thing even more challenging, I could feel a part of myself resisting to open my mind to any other different, like in my mind, no, love sucks. I'm 49. That's it. You are not changing my mind. Keep it up, and I'm ending these therapy sessions. The only reason I'm forcing myself to hear her out is because I don't want to be one of those people who lie, who go through life lying to themselves. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, the least I could do for myself is not hit, get to my deathbed believing something about myself or something about this complicated world that we live in that just happens to not be true. Kind of like the white person who's going to who's going to their graves. And the only good nigger is a dead nigger. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. And who knows? Maybe his best friend could have been, might have been black. Or the homophobic person who doesn't realize that he gave in to, if he opened up about it, if he was more open about his sexuality, he'd probably, he or she would probably be a better person if they dated the same sex. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be, maybe that's probably, I should give myself props for that, is being committed to not being, or trying to not be, those people who go to their grave lying. So all this to say that I'm being receptive to this journey I'm feeling I'm about to embark with my therapist about love, but a part of me really wants to hold on to love sucks. Love ain't real. It's a fictitious. It's only a word people created to sell ad, to sell pantyhose. So I'm trying to quote the guy from Mad Men. You know what? Fuck it. I forget. This is my podcast. I could do this. You know, holy shit. I'm just looking at the time, and I forget that this is Wednesday, and I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to wake up to go to work tomorrow. All right, okay. So before I leave off, I got to share some news with you. Is for returning listeners, people who've been here from the day one and who've been hearing me. I'm not sure how long I've been speaking about, but I know it was significant. Last year, 2023, I was talking about this email I needed to send to 3GO, to the 3GO podcast, and how I ended up writing, you know, on the 11th hour. It was like, I'm acting like it was the day before New Year's. No, it was on Friday 22nd. Friday 22nd. I finally sent the email, and to what you people don't know is a lot of thought went into that email. I probably meant to send it back in the summer, sometime in the summer. Like, I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to bring up this embarrassing thought, but I had a list of podcasters that I wanted to email. Black Guy Who Tips, that was sent. Black Fat Fam, that was sent. And then 3GO was the last one. And I remember telling myself, I don't want to end the year without having sent that email. Anyway, so I sent it on the 22nd. Now, I didn't expect them to read it because I remember hearing Andy, because Andy, one of the hosts from the podcast, who does the reading, and I think he collects the message, saying, yeah, we got a shitload of email that we may never get through. So a part of me didn't expect them to read it. I wanted to send it, and I wanted to send it even though I knew they weren't going to read it. I wasn't expecting them to read it. And what's funny is how what's fucking funny is how in therapy, I had therapy on Monday, and I'm talking to my therapist, and cause she knew about it. She's the one who's been pushing me to do it, and I was like, "So did they read it?" Now remember, I went in there going, "I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck them niggas, man. They ain't go, you know." No, I went in there. I don't care if they read it. And when she asked me, "Did they read it?" I could feel a little anger come out. I was like, "Man, nope." I say anger, but a part of me, you know, hurt feelings. Like, nope, they didn't read it. Like, you know, but I don't care. And it's so amazing. I'm laughing because driving home, minding my own business, and my notification on my phone goes off. No, it wasn't Jesus. Yeah, my notification goes off, you know, but I couldn't pick up my phone. And this is me when something significant happens, I have to give you all the details. Notification going off, finally I get home and I read the message. One of my homegirls. Sorry, one of my homegirls, dear to my heart, she messaged me, and I swear, man, this symbolism say, "Yo, be black." Actually, that's not the actual message, but she said that, but basically letting me know that, hey, man, they read your email. And you know, I'm trying to be a tough guy. I'm trying to convince myself that I'm a thug. I'm not, but I'm, you know, I'm trying to convince. I'm like, I don't care. But deep down, a burst of joy. No. I was like, yeah, you're pulling my leg. No, they didn't. And she specifies the episode. I listen to it, and oh my God. Here's why this email is significant to me. It's because part of what made writing that email difficult, and I may have mentioned this in a past episode, but if you're a new listener, this is going to be new news to you. What made that message so difficult was the fact that I had, at the time, I was convinced, because I hadn't done comedy since 2020. And a part of me kind of convinced himself that, yeah, fuck comedy. I'm done with comedy. I ain't doing it anymore. Yeah, during 2020, the George Floyd and all kinds of shit happening in my life, and combined with not feeling a lot of shit was going on in my mind, had me convinced that, yo, I don't want to see the world laugh. I don't want to contribute to people's happiness. I don't want to make people laugh, strangers laugh. No, it's not just people. I don't want to make white people laugh. I'm a talking black guy surrounded by white people. Anyway, yeah, because I'm a black comedian making black people jokes or jokes about my black experience, and I'm surrounded by white people going, ha, 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 ha. We created those situations that facilitated those jokes, nigga. And you know what I mean? It was just bothering me. It was no longer funny. So a part of me had convinced himself that, yeah, I'm done with comedy. So when I was writing that email, when I was trying to craft that email, one part of me is like trying to write it as someone, hey, I used to do comedy. Another part of me is like, yo, I'm going to go back on that stage. And part of it is I connected because one of the hosts on the podcast talked about how he stopped doing comedy during COVID. And part of me wanted to relate. You know what? Initially, a part of me wanted to write that message saying, hey, convince me to get back into comedy. But I'm like, yeah, that's not their job. Either do it or don't. So what makes this message significant is how I was finally able to write the message easily when I could finally write it from the perspective of someone who had stopped doing comedy and is planning on doing comedy again. So I kept using the word, I'm a comic, my comedy, basically talking about how I used to do comedy and spoke like someone who plans on going back and just speaking to fellow comics. And having these comedians read my message, sorry, not making fun of me, but I'm saying having them read, share their experience, and like, especially this one part that was significant is someone brought up how I talked about how I hate the journey, like as much as I like doing comedy, I hated the journey of trying to make it into a career. And I love the part, the person acknowledged, it's like, yeah, no, it happens. And at least you're honest about yourself about that shit. There's some folks who are like, who get into comedy and pretend they enjoy making it into a career. Some people thrive off trying to make it a career. Some people, you know, like the Chappelle, like they're on their journey of becoming professionals or they're on the journey of being to a heartbreak, but they're willing to fight. Me, I don't have that fight. I kind of wish. I wish. Don't get me wrong. I wish comedy could be my 9-to-5, but when I look at the journey, I'm like, fuck, I don't think I can handle it. There's a lot of crocodiles. There's a lot of pitfalls. Holy shit. I'm, you know, this, it made comedy less fun. Hearing them bring that up kind of healed something inside of me. And what I'm saying is, this is maybe actually, I didn't realize I could have made a whole episode on or a whole final thought on hearing the guys at 3GO read my email was like significant, especially when they ended with, oh, he's got a podcast. Shut up, podcast. I'm like, oh, fuck. I got to clean up my act. But that's not the point of this podcast. The podcast, yeah, this podcast is you seeing my unpolished self. Anyways, I'm saying it's what are we, Wednesday? Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I will say having them read my emails while reflecting on going getting back on that stage, while taking that idea of going back on that stage seriously, kind of made my day. And it made my days. Because I heard it on Monday. Was it Tuesday? No, it came out on Monday. I heard it yesterday. Yeah, so it made my day. I was overwhelmed with emotion, but it was a big deal for me. I won't lie. Part of me was like, yeah, I'm kind of a big deal now. All right, yeah. But that's life, man. Ups and downs. And this is definitely going to be one of my ups. With that said, this concludes today's episode. As always, go to the show notes to get all the links to what's been covered on this podcast. And if you'll notice on the show on the show notes, there's an extra section called Other Links. And in those, you know, I'm just going to read you the list real quick because I know you're trying to leave. It's one link from Happy MLK Day by Dwayne Morgan. He's a poet from Toronto. One of the greatest. Yeah, very insightful poet. So so check out his piece on for Happy MLK Day. Another thing about what MLK thought about Israel, and that's by content creator. His name is I should have written this thing down, but I'm not that proactive. Yeah, content creator's name, okay, it's on Mother Jones, but you know what, click on the link, you'll see, because I can't see his name. I keep forgetting this, you know, I'm a fan of the man of this content creator, but I keep forgetting his name. Just like I always forget, I never know actors by their real name. I only know them by their whatever. Okay. Capitalism is a cult, the deaf, essentially, man. So this is me trying to say some insightful shit about money, less society. He's got an insightful take on capitalism. MLK's nightmare. Okay, everything after that, after the link, is all meant to make you laugh or make you smile. So MLK's nightmare, LOL. It's not hard if we all do our part. It'll make sense once you click on it. Men get so slutty after haircuts. Another hilarious content. And last, kiddo is getting inspired. Right. So finally, this concludes today's episode. I don't know if the batteries are dead in my headphones, but I can't hear myself. Anyways, where's my snare? Yeah, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me if you want to talk to me. Send me some feedback about what's been said. You can holler at me on these Twitter streets. My Twitter account, my Twitter handle is bblizak and shut up. Podcast, so pick one of the two. If one line's busy, pick the other one. If one DM is full, use the other one. Fake it till you make it, because that's how many messages I get. Anyways, yeah, B Blizzak or at Shut Up Podcast on TikTok. You can find me at B.Black on Instagram. Threads, it's at Shut Up Podcast. But if you really want to find me on these internet street, go to shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time, because I was too busy fondling myself. Shutuppodcast.com. You can email me. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You know, I just realized that email is an old technology, so shout out to you old folks still using email. And subscribe. You can subscribe to this podcast, to my podcast, using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, Amazon, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast except Spotify. I don't know why. Remember, I'm a pothead. Yeah, Spotify. Excuse me. It's not a long story. You know what? I'm not on Spotify yet. All right. Thank you for listening. Sorry, this is me reading my script. Actually setting myself up to end the show. Thank you for listening, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, friends and foes. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. Okay? All right. Peace.